The Lauren Brooker Show presents Meet the Candidate.
Very good, Brian. Thank you very much. It is our first Meet the Candidates interview. Your opportunity to find out everything there is to know about the candidates running in the 2024 provincial by-election on the 19th of September here in the Bay of Quinte riding. Our phone lines are open today for you, 613-969-1545, toll-free 1-866-969-1546. And our first candidate in studio today is Tyler Alsop. And Tyler is running for the Progressive Conservatives to replace the Conservative former MPP and Minister of Education, Todd Smith. Tyler, welcome to studio.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I appreciate you having me on today.
And not only are we on 800-CJBQ and everywhere in the world at cjbq.com, but we're also on your TV, so people can actually look at us, and maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know.
It is for me. I was told voice only. Where's the camera?
It's up there, so you can wave. There
Hi,
you
everybody.
Go. All right, Tyler. Tyler is a former owner of a bike store, and he is a current but on hold Belleville City Councilor. Are you 31 yet?
Yes, I'm 31. I'll be 32 in October.
Father of three, three young kids. And so why take on this role? Why did you decide you want to be an MPP?
Well, and part of it is in reference to my three young daughters. You know, I'm very concerned about the direction for the future, not just of the Bay of Quinte, but for Canada as a whole. And so this is something that I took very seriously when I was considering the opportunity to run. And I just think that we need to get ourselves on the right path. And, you know, we can't afford to be taking a step back as a community. You know, under Premier Ford for the last 6 years, you know, we've been the beneficiaries of some historic investments across the board, you know, in healthcare, education, infrastructure, so many different programs. And as with Todd Smith as our MPP, we really reap the benefits of those programs. And so I think that if, you know, someone else was to get into that office and was sitting in opposition and denouncing those programs that we need, it would set our community back, and that's not what we need. We need to move forward, and we need to have strong, progressive, conservative leadership here in the Bay of Quinte.
So, you know, when somebody would watch you at council and hear what you had to say, and council is, you know, in theory, a nonpartisan kind of environment, nobody would have thought of you as a conservative, or a liberal or anything else. Have you always had conservative values? And you know, one of the things that Todd was famous for was being kind of centrist, you know, kind of a red Tory. What are your values?
Yes, I've always considered myself to be a progressive conservative, an emphasis on the progressive conservative part of it. You know, I think that as far as social values go, I'm very progressive in that regard. And so I think some people were surprised when they heard I was, you know, part of the PC party. But that's always been how I felt. And I think the same thing with Todd Smith. You know, I'm very center-center-right. And you know, think that fiscal responsibility is important, think that a low-tax environment is important, think that specific investments in businesses to help generate more economic activity are things that we should be doing. And then not getting involved on the social spectrum and letting people live their lives and keeping government out of people's lives for the most part.
613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. Your calls, your questions, your comments for Tyler Alsop. Tyler wants to be your member of provincial parliament for the Bay of Quinte riding. Again, that election is on September 19th, and make sure you vote if you live in this riding. I can't even vote, so there you go.
See, I thought I was talking to a potential voter
right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Why are you leaving?
Have you considered moving? We'd love to have you.
Yeah, but San Diego has not offered me a job yet, the city of, so I guess I'll be here for a while. Let me ask, obviously you're well known here in the city of Belleville, but this riding encompasses Prince Edward County. This riding encompasses Quinte West. And it is safe to say that your main competitor in this is well known because he's been on the radio for 30 some odd years. So how are you going to get your name out there in places where they don't know your name?
Well, that's been one of the really interesting things about this campaign is that was an assumption that we had made as well, that Belleville knows me pretty well, but maybe Quinte West, maybe the county, not so much. And we've had a really dedicated campaign. And I don't want to, you know, divulge any trade secrets here. We're in the middle of an election period. But we've been making a concerted effort to go out and visit as many people as possible at their doors and talk to them about their priorities and their issues. And so I can tell you, even yesterday, we were in Frankfurt for the day. I went to people's houses that said they hadn't seen a politician in 20 years. We went to streets in between Bayside and Belleville the week before. People said they'd lived there for 12 years, had never seen anybody come by. So we're making the effort to get out and meet people and have those discussions at their doorstep. And that's been going incredibly well. The reception's been great. And what we're finding is that a lot of people are more tuned in than you would expect, given that it's a by-election. You know, often the turnout for by-elections is quite low. But as I'm meeting people, they're saying, yes, we know about your story. We know about the date of the election. We've read about the platforms. And so that's been very encouraging that people are interested, that they're engaged, and they're making their own decisions based on the research that they're doing. And the reception has been incredible all over the riding.
Okay, well, you've gotten good reception, which is good. It's not nice when you go and knock on somebody's door and somebody's not friendly to you. There's no reason, even if you disagree with a politician, these are local individuals, and just say, no, thank you, I'm not interested. You shouldn't be mean to some people, and that happens from time to time. We were joking the other day because you had the premier here.
Yes.
And my thoughts, and maybe I'm wrong, is that, you know, a small percentage of our population could pick out NDP leader Merritt Stiles. A little bit more could probably pick out Bonnie Crombie. But 80 or 90% of the population clearly knows who Doug Ford is. He's kind of a larger-than-life individual. So what was it like to randomly knock on doors and the Premier of Ontario was there when they opened it?
You know, I have to say, the whole thing was incredible and also a little bit surreal, right? Because when the premier comes to town, it's all the things that you would expect, right? It's the black SUVs, it's the guys with the earpieces, it's people walking up and down the street on both sides. But then he gets out and he's like everybody's uncle. People were running, like, you know, stopping their cars, jumping out of their cars to go meet him. We went to an area of town that typically votes more liberal. We went on a holiday Monday and the street was under construction. And I thought, how much are we going to stack the deck against us here? And it didn't matter at all. People were so excited to see him.
So the door opens, and what do people do? Are they surprised to see
him? Yeah. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Do they pull out their cameras?
Yeah, a lot of that. And then also, the premier is giving people his personal cell phone number. He probably gave it to six people on the street, and I have it, so I know it's the legitimate number. And then he goes to give it to a seventh person, and that gentleman says, oh, actually, I got it from him last time I met him. This is a random person on a random street, already had the premier's number. And so it was incredible. And, you know, we're walking around. It's a holiday Monday. Some people weren't home. And Mr. Ford kept saying, you know, is there a place where we can go where we can meet a lot of people at once? You know, is there a grocery store? Is there a local restaurant? And we said, well, being the holiday, you know, not a lot of those are open. And Steve Clark, MPP, was in town as well. And he goes around the corner and says, oh, the Masonic Temple over here is having a toy show from 10 till 3. So Premier Ford and I went to the toy show and we're meeting vendors who are selling Pokemon cards and Beanie Babies and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And everyone is coming out from behind the booths to take pictures with us, to take pictures with Premier Ford. And the one vendor, he had a bunch of Beanie Babies. And Premier Ford stops at the table and finds one with a Habs jersey. And he goes, well, I'm not a Habs fan. I'm a Toronto Maple Leafs guy. But my finance minister, Peter Bethenfalvy, would absolutely love this.
Because he's from Quebec, yeah.
Yeah, and so he buys it for him. And the guy behind the booth is going, the premier is buying his finance minister a Beanie Baby at my booth on a random Monday. It was really, it was surreal, but it was incredible. And I think that the thing that people may not know about Premier Ford, if they haven't met him, is the way that he has with people. You know, we faced some resistance. It wasn't everybody that was excited to see him at first. But the way that he handled those people, talked with them, heard their concerns, acknowledged what we had done and what we were going to do, and that there was more to do on these issues, was incredible.
So, you know, it's great to say, hey, it's great to meet you, Premier. I love you. I'm going to vote for you. It's the people that you're going to try to get to vote for you, which are the most important.
Absolutely.
And so you mentioned concerns. What were some of the concerns that people said to you and Premier Ford? And when you're by yourself, what are some of the concerns that you're hearing at the door?
Well, I think there's, you know, four issues that I've been hearing most about, largely affordability. And that's in basically every neighborhood that we went to. People talked about the lack of affordability, the expense of groceries, the expense of gasoline, the increased taxes that are coming from the federal government. And so that's something that we certainly had a lot of conversation about in terms of our efforts to cut the gas tax, to get rid of the carbon tax, the removal of license plate fees, you know, all of these different programs that we've put in place to help people who are struggling with affordability. Also, you know, of course, healthcare is a topic. You know, Premier Ford was great at explaining to people, you know, we came into a situation that was chronically underfunded, had been for years. If you remember, under the previous Liberal government, there was talk about closing Picton Memorial Hospital and Trenton Memorial Hospital. We provided the stable funding to keep both of those open, and then also provided capital grants to Trenton Memorial Hospital for a new and renovated emergency room, about $8.9 million, 6,000 total square feet, as well as $10 million in capital funding for Picton Memorial Hospital. And just in 2023, we increased the budget of QHC by 7.7%, an additional $15.6 million. So we talked to people about, you know, here we understand the challenges, but here's what we're doing about it, and here's the direction we're going in. And so even people who took a pretty, you know, harsh tone initially recognize that, you know, these are things that are being worked on. This is not something that is being swept under the rug. We are meeting all these challenges head on.
Having said all that,
yes,
there's still 10,000 people in our area plus without a family physician or primary care provider. If you ask me, the number one job of your government to be, if you get elected, or any government, should be to provide that to every man, woman, and child in this province. And that's not the case. There is no way that going to a clinic every now and then, or whatever the case might be, is going to be as good as having somebody who knows you, knows your health, and is able to follow up on a regular basis. And so it's great to, Minister Smith was able to get, because of his position, that's why we have getting a new hospital in Picton. No question about it. There is no question that your government is doing what any government, I hope, is would try to do to improve healthcare.
Of course.
But we have lots of doctors on the show, Tyler, who say it's imploding and the population doesn't have 10,000 people. 10,000 people don't have a primary care physician. That's got to be an issue for you.
Oh, absolutely. And this is something that we're laser focused on, because it is something that we've been hearing for more than 20 years. I mean, we look at Mayor Ellis and the doctor recruitment program that was launched in 2006 under the McGuinty government. So this is not a new issue, and it's something that requires constant assessment and to be addressed.
But interestingly enough, here you are running for this position while you, and again, taking a break, which is the right thing to do, on council. And the council is, again, supporting all these, this doctor recruitment program, which is a great thing, but it's taking away from money that could be going to parks or whatever, because we have to do it. So do you see the kind of dichotomy
where
you're running
completely.
For a party that is, you know, making us have to do this?
Well, again, that's
a provincial issue.
That program was launched in 2006.
No, I get it.
But what we're doing is we've invested 30% more in healthcare than when we came in 2018, $20 billion additional dollars. We've created hundreds of more positions for residencies for doctors, 150 additional positions for RPNs to become educated. We've put up funding to allow for doctors in rural areas to have their medical school fees granted to them. So that's something that I'll be looking to pursue as your next MPP. And a number of other programs that are working and will continue to work. But the work is still to be done. Absolutely. No one is saying that it's perfect today, but we are the party that's done the most work on this, and we will continue to be the party that will get it done in the future.
613-969-1545. Those are the telephone numbers, 1-866-969-1546. If you have a question or a comment for the candidate for the Conservatives, Tyler Alsop. Tyler is a Belleville City Councilor, former bike owner. A lot of people are saying, hey, you sold your bike business and now you're doing this. Coincidence?
You know what? Absolutely. So my partner came to me in October of last year and said, you know, I'm looking to maybe get involved in a bigger way. I know that you have interest in other places. You know, let's talk about a buyout. So that process started in October. And it just took this long to come to fruition. My partner has had some family health issues and some things like that that, you know, required it to take more time. But it really was a serendipitous thing. I left that business on July 1st, and the paperwork and everything was officially closed on July 29th. And so that was just the timeline that...
It's funny how people always want to come up with conspiracy theories and things of that nature.
Well, and the idea that you could sell a small business in a matter of a week or two just on a whim because something else came up. That's not how things work. You have year ends, you have auditing of statements, people need to get financing.
Right.
You can't throw that together overnight because, you know, you get wind of something. That started in October.
It's 10:22. We're going to take a break. One of the big topics, of course, is homelessness and addictions.
Absolutely.
The mayor of Belleville has said constantly that this is a provincial issue and needs to be handled by the province. How would you handle it as our MPP? That's a question coming up next. I'll give you a few seconds to think about that
answer.
But I'm sure you've been asked it several times before already. Your call, 613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546 for Tyler also. We'll take a break.
The constant grind of online marketplaces can be tough. You find a great deal, message the seller, and then... Tired of being ghosted? If you're tired of deals falling through, check out Brian's Auction. From general consumer goods, home renovation supplies, vehicles, and heavy equipment, Brian's will never leave you hanging. Check out Brian'sAuction.com. That's B-R-Y-A-N-S Auction.com. The home of great deals.
Disability support.
Like family.
Alzheimer's and dementia care.
Like family.
24-hour in-home support.
Just like family.
Does your family need help caring for a loved one? Contact Just Like Family Home Care. Your loved one will receive personalized one-on-one home care from one consistent caregiver. Caring, compassionate, and thorough.
Just Like Family.
Request a free consultation. Visit justlikefamily.ca. Just Like Family Home Care. Safety, comfort, and care at home.
What's happening, Quinty, on CJBQ.
Join the Cops and Kids Fishing Derby, Sunday, September 15th. Kids up to 12 years old can fish for free. A free lunch is included, and the first 175 kids receive a free fishing towel. The Cops and Kids Fishing Derby, September 15th from 9:30 to noon. Victoria Park, Belleville.
And that's what's happening, Quinty. Brought to you by Burke Funeral Home.
I feel better. Knowing I've talked with my parents about their final wishes. With help from Burke Funeral Home, we made practical, affordable end-of-life arrangements. Start the conversation with your loved ones. Get your free planning kit from burkefuneralhome.ca.
All roofs are not created equal. Hi, I'm Terry from Advanced Roofing. We build your roof to last for decades, not 10 to 12 years. That's why Advanced Roofing strives to provide our clients with the newest and most innovative products, along with superior installation practices currently available in today's market. Whether it's steel or shingle, call us for a free quote at 243-1083. Advanced Roofing, Quinty's most trusted name in roofing. That's 243-1083.
From politics to sports to the silver screen, it's the Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
Welcome back. Of course, all our candidates are coming in from the Conservatives here with Tyler Alsop, the Liberals with Sean Kelly. We have the Greens and the NDP coming in. They're getting the exact same amount of time, same types of questions as well. We need to go to the phones. I will in a second, but I need a brief synopsis from you, if you can. This is a fairly big riding. It's not like four blocks in Toronto. And each Prince Edward County, City of Belleville, and Quinty West have different needs. What are some of those different needs as you see it?
Well, I found that a lot of the underlying things are actually very similar. Things like affordability, the conversation we just had about healthcare, the conversation we will have coming up about homelessness and addictions. Those are things that I've heard throughout the riding. A lot of the more specific things are you know, specific infrastructure projects by area. You know, of course, Belleville, we're talking about, you know, Belleville East Arterial Road and situations like that. We're talking about the need for a heart hub in our community, which we'll discuss shortly. In Prince Edward County, we're talking about, you know, Highway 49 and some other things.
That needs to get fixed.
You know, well, yeah, and we're committed to doing our part, but it needs to be a multi-level solution. I heard someone say the other day, well, you know, your competitors are saying they'll just write the check and pay for it. Well, that's a very easy thing to say when you know that your party's not going to be in government and not going to actually have to pay for it. So we need a multi-level approach to that. That was a highway that was downloaded in 1998. There's been 26 years of time to be able to work on it. We're in the position now because that work hasn't been done, but we're willing to do our part and step up, provided the federal level also comes with some funding as well, and we're waiting for them to come out with an infrastructure program, of which they do not have.
Quinty West, what is their big issue?
You know, Quinty West, we're talking a lot about, you know, again, affordability, doctors. The need in Frankfurt the other day, actually, we discussed the fact that there used to be three doctors and now they have none. And so those people feel that, you know, they're having to travel long distances in order to get adequate health care. And again, I referenced that program where people who are practicing medicine in rural areas would have their tuition granted to them. That's something I'd love to see happen for Frankfurt and get one or two doctors to locate there to provide better quality health care close to home. And that's something that I think resonates with everybody.
Okay, let's take some phone calls, shall we? Bob in Belleville, good morning. You're on CJBQ with Conservative candidate Tyler Alsop.
Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
All pretty good. I wish you the best of luck because Belleville needs a good Conservative member.
Thank you, sir.
Well, what I'm calling about is recently I had a fine from 20 years ago, and my license got suspended. Okay. It cost me $280 for a $120 fine that I paid, but I had to pay it all over again. Why does the government gouge people for a reinstatement license? Why can't it be a standard $50? And no. How about some notice? Like, it's getting ridiculous. There's just, I'm not blaming Mr. Ford for it because it was installed long before Mr. Ford, but it should be just a standard $50. You shouldn't punish people.
Well, yeah, and I would have to, I appreciate the question. I'd have to take a look at the specific nature of the fine from 20 years ago and why the fees have increased over time. But what I can tell you is this Ford government has been laser focused on getting those fees reduced. We talk about getting rid of the license registration fees. That saves people about $240 a year on average for a family. Also, the photo fees and all those things have been frozen as well, which is projected to save $66 million over the next 10 years. So we have been very focused on getting those fees lowered, but that's certainly something that I would want to take a look at on a case-per-case basis, see what has happened to your particular case, but certainly I'd like to see that fine come down for you and be more affordable.
It's not particularly my case. It's a case for everybody. The people of Ontario have been gouged for a long time. No wonder people are driving under suspension because they can't afford to get their license reinstated. I mean, this would solve a lot of problems by cutting the fee down to a standard $50.
For sure.
Another thing that's really important, our homeless issue. Maybe it's time Doug Ford goes to Mr. Trudeau and says, no more foreign students for 5 years, no more refugees, and reduce immigration down to 120,000 a year, bringing in only the people we need for specific trades and results. Do this, we might have a chance of getting housing caught up a little bit, and we can get people off the streets. And maybe we should, when downtown by the armory's there, maybe we should get some bell tents in the military and put a bunch of them up in there so we can get people the hell off the streets and put some, you know, you can put furnaces in there and a stove furnace and keep people warm.
Thanks, Bob.
Appreciate we've got a problem. It's getting worse.
Thanks. Absolutely.
Appreciate the call. Dave, good morning. You're on with Tyler Alsop. Hello, Dave. I don't know where Dave is.
I don't have Dave in my headset either.
There is.
Hi, can you hear me?
Okay,
yes.
Dave. Yes.
Hi, Dave.
You're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. My question for you is, what plan does your party have to rein in the influx of international students to the area? In my opinion, the local college got very money greedy, not taking into account the effect on the locals' housing and medical support system. And can you confirm for me that some businesses, local businesses, are receiving money or assistance from some governments to hire foreign workers over other employees?
Yes, thank you, Dave. I appreciate the question. I can't speak to that last piece because I'm not aware of that having happened. But to the first piece, you know, we have at the federal level, they have instituted a cap on foreign students coming in. And I think you're right that, you know, when we bring in more people than we have houses for, we need to have a sensible discussion about the level of immigration that's sustainable, given the environment that we're in and the amount of houses that we're able to build. And that is something that this government has always advocated for, as well as advocating for building 1.5 million more homes by 2031 and increasing the amount of purpose-built rentals that are being built, because ultimately we have both a demand issue and a supply issue. So we're working on the supply side to make sure that we're getting more homes built. And then on the demand side, I think there does need to be reasonable discussions about the amount of immigration that's happening to be able to make sure that we're catching up and providing houses for people that are currently waiting for them.
Thanks.
Okay, Tyler, currently I have one of your signs on my lawn. Whether I vote for you or not depends on whether I get some straight answers. I don't think you really came in and gave me a numbers on the cap of international students.
Well, and that's a federal cap.
Well, a cap, but federal, provincial, municipal.
No, it's federal because the federal government decides who comes and leaves our country.
It's not a provincial issue. You guys have a lot of input on what is said and not said, do you not?
I would say that provinces have some input, but I'm sorry to answer for you, Tyler, but
no,
we're wasting time here. If you want to talk about provincial issues, talk provincial issues, or if you're upset about people
coming. Good enough, Lauren. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Angela, good morning.
Hi. Good to be able to ask you a question.
Hi, Angela.
Hi. I live in Milford, and I'm about half a mile down the road from where the almost completed wind farm was torn down. I was totally in favor of the wind turbines, and it was just a minority of people in Prince Edward County that didn't want them. But it cost taxpayers $150 million to tear the White Pines turbines down, and I hear now that Doug Ford is looking into more wind. I'll hang up and listen because my phone's terrible.
Well, what's your question?
I've heard that they're now considering getting into wind for green energy.
All right.
Yes, no, thank you for the question, Angela. And this is something that I talked with Minister Lecce about the other day. He called me before the announcement was going to be made that we're doing the largest energy procurement project in the history of Ontario. And from our standpoint, we're technologically agnostic. If it's a technology that can produce high-quality, reliable power that's affordable and environmentally friendly, we're interested in getting invested in it. But what we're not going to do is what happened under previous governments, where they paid 8 times market value for some of these technologies and then forced them on municipalities that were not interested in it. We will always give municipalities veto power as to what type of power generation they would like to have in their community and make sure that we're paying affordable rates to get it installed and not just doing it because it's the trendy or cool thing or that it'll look good in a picture.
But the reality is if those windmills existed today, they'd already be there.
Right.
Generating energy.
Yes, and the need to tear those ones down, obviously that came during a previous government.
It came as the Conservatives initially got elected, right?
Right.
Okay. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
We're doing well.
Hi, Karen.
Excellent. Hi, how are you, Tyler?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I am doing amazingly well, thank you. So my question is, and I'm hoping to get through to each one of the candidates, and I see a lot of things to do with environment. I see a lot of things for rehabilitation. I see a lot of things for the folks that are up in Belleville outside the church, which is amazing. That's great. What I would like to see, and some discussion perhaps, is with regards to disability payments for those that are on that, as well as old age pension, which I am. I am on an old age pension, Canada pension. Do not have any other type of pension coming in. So at 67, I am still working full time. Just wondering what your particular stance is on perhaps at some point getting through to the government that the disability pension and the old age pension is not anywhere near enough for anybody to survive on without working full time.
Yes, thank you for the question. This is something that we've been focused on as well. So since July of 2022, ODSP has increased 17%. It's also been tied to the cost of inflation. So we have made some meaningful improvements there. We've also increased the amount of money that can be earned while on ODSP by 400% to allow those that are able to work to still work meaningfully and to have that contribute to their income. So that's certainly important. As it relates to some of the other pensions that are done at the federal level, as I've been walking around talking to folks, even military veterans, People who worked in the public sector, they've been very upset about the clawbacks on their pensions that have been occurring when they do qualify for CPP or OAS, that they end up getting less on their regular pension and sometimes have to make a bridge payment as well. And so even though that is more of a federal issue, that's certainly something that I would advocate to my federal colleagues about, because it is something that affects a lot of people in this area and really a lot of people Canada-wide. And I think if you worked your whole life to earn a pension, you should get to keep it.
All right, Karen, thanks.
I absolutely agree.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. 10:36 is the time. Our guest, of course, is Tyler Alsup. Now, Tyler, before the break, we were talking about one of the big issues, something we've spoken about on the show. It seems like it's every day.
Yeah.
And that is the current situation of homelessness and addictions here in the province of Ontario and across the country and around the world as well. But you're running to be the MPP in Bay of Quinte. And so let's talk about here. Mayor Neil Ellis, when we've been talking about this several times on the show, has said, if you're upset about this, you need to speak with your provincial member of provincial parliament. That's what you want to be. Your thoughts on dealing with this situation? I mean, it's so complex. It's so complicated. But, you know, if you're going to take on this role, if anybody's going to take on this role, this is going to have to be one of the primary concerns. And I believe it needs to be dealt with seriousness and not something that is looked at, oh, we'll figure this problem out 8 years down the road. The problem needs to start to be fixed today.
Well, and even before today, but certainly, you know, we're starting now and we're moving forward. And this is a problem that, as you said, is very complex, requires a degree of seriousness and also a degree of compassion for the folks that are struggling and also for the families who have lost loved ones who haven't passed away but are still out there on the street and they haven't seen them. And it is something that is Canada-wide, but what we're looking to do in Ontario is a new program called the Heart Hubs. It'll be 19 different hubs located across Ontario. I had Associate Minister of Mental Health and Addictions, Michael Tobolo, come out and do some door knocking with me and had a great meeting with him. He's very confident that we'll be able to get one located in the Bay of Quinte. And so what these facilities are, the HEART acronym stands for Homelessness, Addictions, Recovery, and Treatment. And what we're looking to do there is get people medically detoxed off of the drugs that they're taking. It will have supportive beds while they're there during their stay and while they're going through that process. And then an additional 20 highly supportive beds afterwards to help get them stabilized and then put them out into more affordable, more long-term housing afterwards. Because as a member of the Police Services Board, as chair of the Police Services Board, and as a former treasurer for the Enrichment Center of Mental Health, I've worked on this from the law enforcement side, from the mental health side, and it is something that requires all of those pieces. You have to have housing first. If people don't have somewhere to stay, they're not reasonably going to get clean while they're on the streets. They're not reasonably going to get the mental health care that they need while they're on the streets. We need a place for people to go where they can be detoxed, where they can have medical supervision, because it can be very difficult to detox from opioids. Mm-hmm. And that's something that sometimes gets lost in this conversation is, well, why don't they just stop? Well, it's not that easy. You know, people go through sweating, vomiting, dehydration, and you can certainly die from coming out of opioid withdrawal. So that's something that we need the supports for, and that's what these Heart Hub models will do. 19 of them across the province. I would love to see one located in the Bay of Quinte, have a couple along that 401 corridor, and then the rest in Toronto, Ottawa, and those places as well. But the thing that I think is really important about this is it has to be a larger scale regional and provincial wide approach, because what tends to happen is if one community forges ahead, more people go to that community because they have the supports from other communities that do not have the supports. So we need a broad system to be built quickly, and that's something we're doing, $378 million investment for 19 of these hubs to be built.
$378 million doesn't seem like enough.
Well, I think that's a matter of opinion. I think that $20 million per hub sounds pretty significant investment.
Mm. You mentioned that after they go through the detox and then the support beds, they're put into housing. Where's that housing coming from? Because we have a massive housing crisis. And who's going to pay for that housing?
Well, we do have affordable housing units in the community. You're right that we do need more affordable housing units. And this is something that I had the opportunity to work on as a member of the Community and Human Services Committee through Hastings County. And the wait list for Hastings County, and not all of that is in our catchment riding, is about 3,400 families. And when you look at the fact that we're paying up to about $400,000 per affordable housing unit to be built, that's about a $1.3 billion problem. That has been there for many, many years, but it's something that we need to get to work addressing. And I think that we do need innovation within the sector in order to drive down the prices per unit to make the problem more manageable. You know, and sometimes at those committees, people have seen me not vote for certain of these projects, not because the housing isn't needed and not because I don't support it, but at that level of cost, you're not going to be able to build enough units ever to address the problem. So we need to get the price per unit down through innovation in the sector, through cutting red tape, and through working with the Quinney Home Builders Associations and others, because often builders in this community haven't been viewed as stakeholders and haven't been appreciated as the industry that they are. So we're trying to do things to benefit them without their consultation, and we're not going in the right direction.
Do you think the government should build homes?
I think it's an interesting question as to who should actually be building them. I think the government should have a major role in providing the funding for building of those homes. Do we have the resources and the departments available right now to do it? We do not. So we're reliant on the industry to work with us. But that's a change that could happen in the future, and we'll have to see where that goes. I think right now we need to work on the problem as it is today. You know, there's always that in a perfect world, something else would be happening. But we work with the world that we have, and in that case, we'll need innovation in the sector and collaboration with QHBA.
We do work in the world that we have, and you said there's a waiting list of 3,000 people.
Yes.
So, say 8 people come out in a month of this rehab facility, and they get on a list of 3,000. Where do they go?
Well, and we do have units that are cycling through, so people are coming out and going onto the list at the same time. And then some
of
those,
still a list of 3,000.
And some of those people are not from this area as well. You can register in different areas. But yes, it is a complex problem. No one is claiming that that's going to be solved tomorrow. But the work needs to be done, and we are committed to doing the work as we have already been doing.
One of the things that people are angry about, and this is a provincial issue, is the way that some people who are involved in the distribution of these drugs get arrested by our incredible police force. You know this more than anybody, because you're the chair of the police services board right now on a break as
yes,
you're in the election.
Absolutely, not in that capacity today.
And some of these individuals, through the incredibly hard work of our police, get arrested, and they come before a justice of the peace who has no choice but to send them on their way. And this is one of the things that frustrates people hugely, and I'm sure everybody, because, you know, one of the ways to help control this homelessness and addiction situation is controlling the drugs that are on the street. And if, you know, somebody gets arrested and then they're back on the street in a few hours or a day or 2 days, how's that helping the situation?
Well, absolutely. And that's why we've advocated for bail reforms. And Premier Ford has done some of the largest bail reform programs in the history of Ontario, because it is absolutely disheartening to all of the men and women that work so hard in this sector, the police, the first responders, because you're right, they will see the same individual overdose multiple times in a weekend. They will arrest the same individual for possession of drugs or for public indecency and those sorts of things multiple times in a weekend. We had a report come to the police services board. I believe that individual over a 36-hour span had been arrested something like 7 times and would immediately go right back to what they were doing. In this particular case, harassing someone in a building, uttering threats. You know, not a person that should be back out right away. And that's why we're doing the bail reform work. We also made some changes at the police service here in town, where we handed out notices to people who are openly using drugs in public and said, this is your warning. After this, we will be moving forward with charges. And we worked with the local judiciary system to make sure that those charges would, when brought, be prosecuted. Because that was a huge problem, where police are doing all of this work and tying up resources and using police time, but then nothing comes of it. And then they're arresting the same person later.
Are you hearing about this issue at the door?
I am hearing about this at the door. Absolutely. Because people are aware of it. It has not worked. And that's why we've done the bail reforms that we have. There's more work to do on that. But again, we are the party that's going to get it done. And we've already been committed to doing that. We've invested more money in terms of auto thefts, which has been a big issue. People driving the cars across the border. We've invested more money into having the capabilities to go after some of these larger drug dealers across the province, and have had some great success in those operations as well. And it's a heartbreaking thing for everybody, But I really do feel for these individuals in law enforcement that, you know, are doing their level best to get this problem under control, and see that same person out hours later in some cases back doing exactly what they were doing before.
Tyler Alsup is the Progressive Conservative candidate for Bay of Quinte, the riding that will be in a by-election on September 19th. Make sure you're registered. Make sure you're able to get out there and vote. I don't care who you vote for, as long as you get out and vote. By-elections typically don't have huge voter turnouts. We need to get the population out there. This is education, infrastructure, health care. These are important topics in your everyday life. It's important we have a good representative in Toronto at the Ontario Legislature. We'll take a quick break. We'll continue with Tyler. It's the Lauren Brooker Show. Meet the candidates on 800-CGBQ and your TV.
What are you hunting for?
Shh! I'm hunting for deals!
Ah, you won't find deals out here. You need to be online at briansauction.com. Brian's brings the deals online right to your phone. Deal hunt for new inventory, as well as a variety of vehicles and heavy equipment. Online deal hunting has never been easier. Grab your deal today at Brian's Auctions. That's B-R-Y-A-N-S auction.com. The home of great deals.
As a homeowner in Belleville, you know it can be a long journey before your home runs smoothly and worry-free. But thanks to our experts at Enercare, you don't have to do it alone. We're available with affordable solutions every step of the way. Whether it's heating, cooling, water heating, or water purification, you get peace of mind knowing that you're backed by our very best. With 65 years of helping Ontarians, we'll always be here when you need us.
Enercare, experts at home.
Cruise the Caribbean with Blows and Stewart Travel and 800-CJBQ. Hey, it's Lauren Brooker inviting you to our 2025 Caribbean cruise supporting the Belleville General Hospital Foundation. Join us for the adventure of a lifetime beginning February 27th. The experience begins with two nights at the beautiful Riverside Hotel in Fort Lauderdale. Then we step aboard the incredible Celebrity Apex for a seven-night cruise. We'll stop in the beautiful port of Key West, Florida, and Nassau in the Bahamas, and Puerto Plata in the Dominican Republic. The CJBQ Caribbean Cruise is more than the adventure of a lifetime. It's also a life-saving fundraiser supporting the Belleville General Hospital Foundation. Reserve your spot now and help keep exceptional care close to home. Space is limited. Call Blows and Stewart Travel today at 961-1186. That's 961-1186, and cruise the Caribbean with me this winter.
There's just one place to go for new and good used appliances. Smitty's Appliances has the best price and selection. After the sale, Smitty says it's service that's important. Smitty has been servicing the Quinte area for 50 years. That speaks for itself. There's a big inventory of new and used appliances available for same-day delivery at Smitty's Appliances. River Road, Corbyville.
Who is the best of the Bay? You decide. Hey, it's Doug Stevenson. Best of the Bay is back, celebrating your favorite businesses on the north shore of the Bay of Quinte. Voted more than 60 categories, like best brewery, golf course, coffee shop, gym, and best restaurant. And there's $1,000 in prize money up for grabs to voters. Voting ends Sunday. Visit bayofquinte.ca/bestofthebay and vote for the best of the Bay.
Serving the Bay of Quinte and beyond. 800-CJBQ.
Lauren Brooker.
Talk so passionate, it's addictive. It's Lauren Brooker on 800-CJBQ.
Welcome back. It is Meet the Candidates. Tyler Alsup is with us. He is the Progressive Conservative candidate for Bay of Quinte. The by-election is September 19th. Tyler, we have a few minutes left before you get to your 60-second Tell Us Why segment. We should vote for you. Tell us why your family was okay with this. You have a young family. It requires a lot of time. The beautiful family.
Thank you.
All
credit to my wife.
All our candidates have families, and it's a huge commitment. So what was it like to talk to them about it and get the go ahead, which I'm sure you did?
Oh, absolutely. You know, those are our family decisions that are made. And you know, my wife, Jennifer, was incredibly supportive. She's at home with the children now and does an incredible job with them. I couldn't be doing what I'm doing here if it wasn't for the great work that she does with our kids at home. And so we did have those conversations. And, you know, some people have asked me about this idea of sort of sacrifice. And I have to say, I really don't think of it that way. I mean, you know, there was nothing that was promised to me. This is an incredible opportunity to have. And you think about a lot of kids' parents who, whether they're in the military, whether they're firefighters or police officers, whether they're long-haul truck drivers, if they work in the oil fields, there's a lot of people who don't get to see their children every night at the end of the day, and they work hard to get a better future for their children. And that's what I'm doing, and not just for my children, but for everyone's children in this area. And so I consider it to be a great honor and a great privilege to be in this position. And yes, you know, when the legislature's sitting, I'll be gone 4 days a week. I won't get to see them in the mornings before school. I won't get to catch up with them in the evenings. But the hope is that someday they'll understand why their dad did it and be proud of the work that I've done. And they'll understand that I've been doing it for them and for all of their friends.
You have three young children. How does that affect how you would be an MPP?
Well, I mean, I think it gives me a longer lens on the future. You know, for me, 15 years from now is when my girls will be starting university, right? It's not some abstract thing in the future. It's a thing that we're already planning for. And you know, it will be challenging. There's going to be a lot of things that you miss. You know, having been off for a couple of weeks after having sold my business, I realized even more how much you miss because I was there every day and getting to play with them and seeing all the things they're doing and working on art projects and, you know, all the wonderful things that they have going on. My oldest daughter is 4 and a half, starting SK today. And my younger daughters, Riley and Everly, are 3 years old and they're in second year preschool. And so that is a challenge. And certainly, you know, it's going to be hard to be away from them. It's going to be hard to miss them. But we're working for the greater good. I'm working for their futures and to create a better life for them and for everyone else in the Bay of Quinte region. And my wife was completely supportive. And I have to say, if she wasn't doing the job that she was doing, it wouldn't have been a thing I even entertained. But she is absolutely incredible as a mother and loves it, even though it's tough. You know, she has some longer days than I do. But we couldn't do it without her.
What about people who are saying, hey, you're a city councilor, why aren't you doing that? Isn't that enough of a job for you?
Well, sure. And, you know, that really was something that I was so passionate about. I started running for that job when I was 21 years old. Even though I'm only 31, I've been in politics 20 years now. My first foray into politics was in 2004 on the Can't Wait to Skate Committee because we didn't have a skate park in town. And so I wanted to make sure that our community had that resource that I felt that was needed. And I always wanted to be a city councilor. This opportunity came up. This was not a scheduled election. You know, it just popped up out of the blue. And it was really important for me to make sure that this community had the representation that it needed and would be able to be on the right path moving forward with someone who could work with Doug Ford, with the Ontario PC government, and deliver real results for people in the Bay of Quinte.
Okay, well, this is the point in the show where we give you exactly 60 seconds to let us know why you should be the next member of provincial parliament for the Bay of Quinte riding.
Well, thank you, Lauren. I've been a lifelong advocate for this community, and that's something I look forward to doing in an even greater way as your next MPP for the Bay of Quinte. And over the last 6 years, Doug Ford and the Ontario PC government have made historic investments on all the issues that matter most to voters, whether it's affordability, whether it's housing, education, infrastructure, homelessness and addictions. We've been getting that work done. And with Todd Smith as our MPP, we reaped the benefits of those programs. And I'm looking to not just pick up where Todd left off, but to build on those successes, to continue to forge a better future for the Bay of Quinte and with greater collaboration with our municipal partners. And there's a real question of what do we want in our next MPP? Do we want someone who's going to sit in opposition, who's going to denounce the very programs that we need, and is going to parrot party slogans, or someone who's ready to get to work on day one, work with this Ontario PC government and Premier Doug Ford, and continue to deliver great results for the Bay of Quinte? And that's why on September 19th, I would urge all of you to vote for Tyler Alsop as your Ontario PC party member and your next Bay of Quinte MPP. Thank you.
Tyler Alsop, like I will say to all candidates, good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Get out and vote on the 19th of September. That's just in a few weeks from now.